Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of ISKCON, Chapter 9, Text 16. Aham Kratur Aham Yagya Swadhaham Aham Aushadham Mantroham Ahamevajam Aham Agniraham Hutam Aham Kraturaham Yagya Swadhaham Aham Aushadham Mantroham Ahamevajam Aham Agniraham Hutam Aham Kraturaham Yagya Swadhaham Aham Aushadham Mantroham Aham Evajam Aham Agniraham Hutam. First translation, but it is I who am the ritual, I the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire and the offering. Purport. The Vedic sacrifice known as Jyotishtoma is also Krishna, and he is also the Mahayagya mentioned in the Smriti. The oblations offered to the Pitri Loka, or the sacrifice performed to please the Pitri Loka, considered as a kind of drug in the form of clarified butter, is also Krishna. The mantras chanted in this connection are also Krishna. And many other commodities made with milk products for offering in the sacrifices are also Krishna. The fire is also Krishna, because fire is one of the five material elements and is therefore claimed as the separated energy of Krishna. In other words, the Vedic sacrifices recommended in the Karma Kanda division of the Vedas are in total also Krishna, or in other words, those who are engaged in rendering devotional service unto Krishna are to be understood to have performed all the sacrifices recommended. Performed all the sacrifices recommended in the Vedas. So the verse again, Aham Kratur Aham Yagya Swadhaham Aham Aushadham Mantroham Aham Evajam Aham Agnir Aham Hutam. But it is I who am the ritual, I the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire and the offering. Here Lord Krishna mentions, he's talking about Yagya, the process of sacrifice, fire sacrifices, some of the essential elements and how they are non-different from him. Some of the essential elements in a fire sacrifice, fire is essential. You can't have an electric cooker. It has to be fire, actual manifest fire. Ghee is necessary, and this is one of the main reasons why cow protection is an essential part of Vedic culture, because Vedic culture, the whole Varnashram culture, it in many ways culminates in sacrifices. Everyone works together for this purpose. The king organizes it and takes the taxes, including the grains which the Vaishyas produce, and the Shudras help to produce that. And the Brahmanas, they execute it. So this is the Vedic or the Varnashram system culminates in the Karma Kanda process, culminates in performing fire sacrifices. And that doesn't have to be Karma Kanda. If it's just like we read in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam about Prithu Maharaj, he was performing sacrifices, which, and Lord Ramachandra, he was performing sacrifices for how long? 10,000 years, something. continuously, one after the other, performing public, major public sacrifices. So this is one reason why cow protection is essential. And I want to speak now about cow protection, because that is a central part of the Krishna consciousness movement. Ghee is also required for, among all the milk products, all the things you can drink, milk. Milk in the Vedic terms, when just milk is said, it means cow's milk. There's also buffalo's milk and human milk and donkey's milk and camel milk and sheep's milk and pig's milk and so many different kinds of milk. But unless it's otherwise stated, milk refers to cow's milk. So this, from milk, it can be drunk directly. It can be, you can make so many different sweets out of it, so many varieties, and buttermilk, various fermented forms of milk and yogurt. So many different items can be made from it. Butter, but the most important is ghee, both from the, that can be used in sacrifice as a cooking medium, and it's also medicinal. There's one saying or nyai that ayu or life or and good health is synonymous with ghee. And milk, so ghee are very good for health and required for nourishing the brain, and milk, cow's milk, for nourishing the brain. It seems that buffalo's milk makes the brain dull. Seems like that. When I was first staying in India in mid-1970s, in most parts of India, milk of any kind wasn't available. And if it was, at least, especially where I was in West Bengal, and if you got milk at all, it would be buffalo's milk. It was rare to get cow's milk. Only in Karnataka was milk readily available at that time. Milk means cow's milk. So sometimes you would take buffalo milk just because we didn't get any milk, but it seems to make the brain dull, become like a buffalo. Dull-headed creature. So this Srila Prabhupada so many times states that milk is required for nourishing the finer brain tissues which are necessary for spiritual realization. And in so many places Srila Prabhupada writes how cow protection is essential, even go brahmana hita. Krishna is addressed as the benefactor of the cows and the brahmanas. And Srila Prabhupada says, if the cows even more than the brahmanas. Vedic culture's cow protection is essential. And this was a concept that Srila Prabhupada introduced to the Western world. And people in the Western world still can't understand it at all. Like to sit on a chair? Find it difficult to sit on the floor?
It's okay.
Yeah, but then sit like this. Sit properly. Heard Prabhupada say that? That means like this. If it's uncomfortable, you can sit in a chair. it's still in the Western countries, it's something which is incomprehensible to most people. They're cows, you eat them, right? What's this cow protection? I seem to think it's some kind of silly thing. But that is required, and the results of not protecting cows is chaos and envy and hatred in human society. It has a karmic effect. We wonder why are all these countries, why there's war and fighting, and why is that? And why is among people there's no trust and there's increasingly violence? Because it's the whole atmosphere of the world is polluted by cow slaughter. So one of the major functions of the Krishna conscious movement is to introduce cow protection. So this was a point that the Krishna Conscious Movement was promoting, and in the 1960s and 70s, the Krishna Conscious Movement in the Western world was in the vanguard of promoting vegetarianism. It was, of course, there have always been some vegetarians in the Western world, but it was really catching on, and the devotees were really seen as pioneers and apostles of vegetarianism. And we preach that, well, we shouldn't mistreat the animals. There's no need to kill them. We can live without meat. And even if you want meat, Srila Prabhupada said, you want to eat beef, we'll give you. You know that? Prabhupada, he said that, we'll give you. You want to eat beef, we'll arrange for you. He said, from New Vrindavan, you can arrange to feed the local people beef. We'll give it free. How is that? You have to wait for the cow to die. That's all. No killing cows, but if you like to eat beef, we'll give you free. And otherwise, if you want to eat animal, then you can eat chickens and goats. And goats, people don't eat much in this part of the world. Sheep and all this kind of dogs, probably, you can eat dogs. Although the idea to people in the West of eating dogs is something horrible. They think nothing of eating cows, but somehow the idea of eating dogs is something horrible to them. Not in China. It's a big thing. They like eating dogs. Pigs, of course. They like to eat pigs. Here, of course, pigs. Yeah. So, Srila Prabhupada is making that point. Actually, to eat any meat is low class. And to kill animals for the satisfaction of the palate when it's not required for the health of the body is something very bad. So we had a moral case. We had the moral high ground over the meat eaters. And at the same time, we were drinking milk largely from commercial farms. Mostly we were doing. And Srila Prabhupada also ratified that because he said that, well, anyway, we have to offer milk to Krishna. And milk is required for our devotees. You're going to be Brahmins, supposed to have a good brain, the brain that functions well in the mode of goodness. So cow's milk is required for that. And even it's well known that, there's no record in the Veda base of this, but it's widely accepted as a fact that even though in America, I don't know if it's nationwide, but at least in some states, if not many states, it's compulsory that the milk that is sold has fish oil in it, because that adds vitamin D. And when this was brought to the vitamin A and vitamin D, so when this is brought to the attention of Srila Prabhupada, he said, well, offer it and drink it anyway, because milk is so essential. What can be done? Surprising. Did your mother feed you cod liver oil? That was a standard thing when I was a kid, this cod liver oil, because you got that? It's supposed to be very good for health, and every child hated it because it tasted horrible, because it's full of, packed with vitamin A and all kinds of things. I don't know if they do it nowadays, but the cod's got their... Cod is a kind of fish which used to be plentiful in the oceans, maybe not nowadays because they've been overfished and polluted. So they would extract the liver from the cod. It must be a very small, because the cod is not such a big fish, and extract the liver and extract the oil and give to protesting children all over the world. And so they put fish oil in the milk. And Prabhupada said to take it anyway. But he also said to offer it to Krishna in our temples. But he also said that all of our city temples, they should have a farm community attached, or some distance outside the city, have a farm, and The grihasthas mostly can stay there. There's no need to stay in the city unless one is engaged in full-time preaching. That was Srila Prabhupada's idea. Otherwise, the grihasthas can go to the farm and they can work as farmers and teachers. We can have our schools there also, and all kinds of things. Looking after the cows, handloom and village crafts, handicrafts. So this is Srila Prabhupada's idea, simple living and high thinking, with cow protection in the center. So in that way, then, if there are cows and producing milk, then there wouldn't be any need to purchase milk from the people who kill the cows. Now, we didn't do that. As a movement, we didn't take up this farm mission very seriously. I don't know you. If you in Croatia, you are, those of you who are here from the early days, if that was ever on the agenda or ever part of the idea.
It was,
but it never happened. Huh?
It's,
well, that was in Lika, but that wasn't coming from the ISKCON authorities. That was coming from individual devotees.
From the GBC.
Oh, the GBC was Rohini Sutta Prabhu, yeah. Okay, but it was a privatized idea, yeah. Okay, I'm in favor of privatized farms also. Can be ISKCON farms and privatized. I don't think that ISKCON's meant to become the landlord of the whole world and let individual grihasthas have farms also, and not that ISKCON has to own everything and manage everything, and the poor leaders are completely overburdened with management. Let individual, that's my idea, let individual grihasthas develop, not that the official ISKCON institution has to own everything. Anyway, that's another point. But anyway, it never developed like that. And in the meantime, after the vegetarianism came up, came veganism, which is the big thing now, more than vegetarianism, on ethical grounds, saying that, look, these cows and other animals, they're completely tortured from birth, those that are allowed to survive, because the male cows and chickens, they're just slaughtered. Chickens, the males are just slaughtered immediately after birth, daily, millions all over the world. And the male calves, they're fattened a little bit and slaughtered shortly after birth. And then the ones that are kept alive, many of them, they're mostly cows in the Western world. Cows, pigs, chickens, they're all kept in horrible conditions. Factory farming, tortured throughout their lives, and then slaughtered. So the vegans, they took the moral high ground away from us and said to us that, why are you drinking this milk? Why are you supporting the killing of these animals by giving your money to the people who are doing that? And actually our devotees found they didn't have a very good answer. They could say, well, the cows that give milk to Krishna, they get liberated, but that doesn't go down very well with the vegans. You told me that you had said this, and one vegan came back to you and said, okay, I bless you in your next life. You can become a cow and tortured throughout your life and then slaughtered, and you can give your milk to Krishna. It's the real answer is that we should show that simply negation is not the answer, not to stop drinking milk, but to protect the cows And we can actually show that cows are very happy when they're nicely protected. I was shortly before leaving India, I stayed for almost 2 months in one of our farms, and the cows, they actually, when they come back at night, they run back. They're out in the field in the day and they run. It's like they're so happy. They're very happy to be with the devotees there, and they're happy to be looked after. Some vegans say that, well, you shouldn't keep cows, because why should you keep cows? They should just run, let them be wild. But they also like to be with humans. They don't have any idea. They don't have any idea how the animals can be happy if they're looked after. Just like the dogs like to be looked after by humans. And you probably don't have experience, but in India I've seen, because there are so many, the vast majority of dogs in India are wild street dogs, or in the villages. They're not really attached to anyone, but they just wander around. But you'll see the puppies, they try to follow behind, and as if to say, you come and I'll be with you, you look after me. They want to be attached to some human. Have you ever experienced that also? Yeah. They want to be. And cats, well, they're very independently minded. But they also live with humans. And there are many animals that live happily with humans. Horses, they reciprocate affection, don't they? Horses also, cows. Some animals don't reciprocate affection so much, like donkeys and buffaloes. But the cows, they like to be protected. And if they're kept nicely, and they'll give more milk than if they're just treated in a nasty manner. So the vegans have put us in a difficult spot, because they're saying, what are you doing? By taking milk from these cows, you are sanctioning, you're involved in this horrific cow torture and cow slaughter business. And we really don't have an answer to that. We could say, yeah, we believe in cow protection. We could say that in the 1960s and early 1970s, but now, 50 years later, we say, well, if you believe in it, why aren't you doing it? Where is it? What's going on? So actually, although I'm not a vegan, but I do take only what we call ahimsa milk, because that's at least my little bit, a message to that we shouldn't be taking milk. We shouldn't be taking milk from the torture business. We should get our farms together. And in India, in most places, it's not a problem. Well, you may have to travel some distance, but there are individuals who protect a few cows, and there are goshalas that protect cows. So it's possible. And of course, at our ISKCON centers, we have cows who are protected. In many of our ISKCON centers in India, even in the city temples. So I welcome this veganism and this attack on us. Why should that be? Well, it's time to get our act together. It can be an impetus for us to actually do what Prabhupada wanted us to do and Krishna wants us to do, and which is an essential part of the Krishna conscious movement. Preaching is not only by talking, but by acting and showing how we should live. Now, there are various problems connected with keeping cows and producing milk from them. A major problem, if you can call it that. We shouldn't really think that cows are problems, but it's an issue that we have to consider very seriously, is that herds expand. And if you want milk, then you have to have calves. The cows have to have calves regularly, otherwise their milk output decreases. And then you need more land to graze. So what's the solution? When Srila Prabhupada was asked this, he said, buy more land. But then land is very expensive, and we also need devotees to do that and look after that, look after the cows. So it's really a challenge for us to get our farm communities together. There are cow protection programs in Bhaktivedanta Manor in London, but as far as I can see, it's not really the model that Srila Prabhupada was looking at. It's more like a showpiece. And it's not really an advertisement for cow protection, because the milk costs double or more than of regular commercial milk. So then it looks like protecting cows is economically not viable. And in Hungary, there's something like that. In Ukraine also, I was told, there's one devotee individually running a goshala like that, not as an ISKCON project. But it's time for us to get it together. And so we'll say, well, how are we going to get so many devotees to look after so many cows? We have to preach. How did we get devotees to go out and book distribute books? We preach to them that we need to do this. This is Srila Prabhupada's desire. It's required. So we have to preach. And how are we going to get the money to purchase so much land? Then we have to get the... How are all these properties bought in America and other places in the 1970s especially? That was from book distribution. So then we have to revamp the book distribution and get it going. In other words, by following this order of Srila Prabhupada to protect cows, if we're going to do it successfully, we're going to have to get the whole Hare Krishna movement moving again. Great! So I welcome veganism. Let's take up the challenge and establish farms. Bring in young men, train them up. Young women also. Young men, young women, give them some training. Then after some time, most of them may get married, so they can go to the farms and say, well, we don't know how to do farming. It's not that everyone's a farmer, but there are so many things to do on the farm communities. We can... To do it successfully, we need lots of money, because we need to purchase more and more land. We need more and more devotees. Great! But if we just want to have a little church and come on Sundays and ring the bell, then we're going to have to tolerate the vegans attacking us. Or we can all become vegans, but then we shouldn't make Radha Krishna into vegans. They're not vegans. Then what are we going to do? Then we have to feed them the milk from the torture, and then the vegans will attack us. So we're caught. One way, either the vegans are going to get on our case, or we're going to make offenses to Radha and Krishna by not giving them the food which they like. Which should be, if we're going to call deities and worship them, it's just like in a yajna, you can't have a yajna with olive oil. It has to be ghee. Maybe in Croatia you think, let's do an olive oil yajna. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Now someone's going to do it. Any deviation possible, someone will do it. It's called Murphy's Law or Parkinson's Law. Bhakti Vikas Law, huh? Coconut oil, there's so many things. You can, that's for Kerala. Not for, you don't get coconuts here. No, imported only. So yeah, if the Krishna conscious Murphy's law, if there's some deviation possible, someone will do it. Who can dream up the next one? So just like you can't do bona fide fire sacrifices with olive oil, you need ghee. So in the same way, if we're going to worship Radha and Krishna and Gaur Nithai, we have to offer milk to them and yogurt and food cooked in ghee. So if we're going to do that, we're either going to give milk from properly protected cows or we're going to give milk from tortured cows. If we're going to give milk from properly protected cows, then we're going to have to properly protect them. And if we're going to give milk from tortured cows, then the vegans are, even though they are fanatical and obnoxious often, but they got a point. So I welcome veganism. I'm not pro-veganism, but I welcome it. It's definitely better than slaughterism. But they don't know the value of cow products. And if we give them actually food cooked in ghee, then it may be very difficult for them to resist because it's so tasty. And that's another thing. If we graze the cows as Krishna did, and then we make milk and ghee, we take the milk and make ghee from that. The flavor is something altogether different from buying butter, blocks of butter, and boiling it and making ghee. That tastes nice, but when from properly grazed, especially if they go in the forest and they can eat all kinds of herbs, as well as grass is their basic diet, but they'll eat all kinds of things, and then the milk, the flavor becomes so nice, and the ghee is so nice. So that point I wanted to make. That's all I wanted to say for now, unless there are any questions or comments.
It's not about dairy things, it's about other veganism things. Example. Once, before many years, I discussed with devotees about shoes.
Oh, that's another thing, leather shoes. Yeah, the vegans won't use leather shoes. Yeah, good.
But this devotee tell me, Bhakti Vikash Maharaj told me, if you are going in Sankirtan, buy shoes with the skin.
If you're going out in the winter in minus 20 Celsius for book distribution, there's nothing warmer than leather. Because book distribution is a high principle. So there may be some allowances. But then if the vegans get on your case, you may reconsider also. I never heard of such a thing, but there's some kind of heated shoe inlays made in Russia.
We have so many kinds of shoe, but it's not from skin.
Anyway, this kind of issue, actually, leather shoes are allowed also. It's because just like we use leather in the mridanga, traditionally it's from cows that just die. No one kills them, and then you can make the shoes from it. So some smarters would reject that, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also used to use leather shoes and even cover the books with leather. Yeah, all leather, yeah. Apparently, I heard this from Jai Pitaka Maharaj many years ago, the leather that is suitable for mridangas can only come from cows that die naturally. Apparently. And so I heard it from him many years ago.
But we make a research. Devotees from Slovenia, Lukram, he go to every mridanga vala and ask.
Nowadays, they probably just use whatever's available. And West Bengal is one of the worst places in India for cow slaughter. It's allowed legally. I think it was the first time I was in India, that must have been 1976, taking a taxi from Howrah station, going to our center in Calcutta. And then just after Howrah station, come to Howrah Bridge, and I was shocked to see all these cows being driven across Howrah Bridge and beaten, and some Muslim guys beating them, and they're all afraid, and they're being driven. It was horrible to see. I couldn't imagine in India. There's massive cow slaughter goes on in India, even in the states where it's not allowed. And even in Gujarat is one of the states where there's more opposition or not liking cow slaughter, but it goes on there in Muslim areas. I saw once, I was in an area, not so long ago, we were driving in an area near to the border with Maharashtra. We saw cows being driven, obviously being driven to slaughter. They're taken over the border to Maharashtra to illegal slaughterhouses. Horrible. And then so many are taken over the border from Gujarat to Pakistan. Horrible, horrible. It's gone.
Reason why I not took microphone, if I can say that. If some vegan is here, he will say, why you are using this from sheep wool? Because for me, I don't have a problem. Even that you.
Why are we using sheep's wool? Because our acharyas and shastras allow it. There's no harm to the sheep. If you let the wool grow also, it just gets all entangled. Actually, they can't have. If you use computers, you're going to use. There's going to be something, everything in modern life. Then you have to go to a cave if you want to totally avoid it. Even if you use the oil from the ground, then that's hurting the earth. If you drive in a car, you have to use petrol, right? So that's hurting the earth, and in extracting the oil, you kill so many living beings. So to be totally free from violence in this world, it's not possible. That's why they have that's stated in Manu Sanghita, that the householder, they can't avoid killing in so many ways, because when you light a fire in the wood, there'll be some insects. When you grind the spices or the grains, then there'll be some little, you can't avoid, there'll be some tiny insects, you'll kill them. So there are five things, which I don't remember all now, in which killing goes on. So therefore you have to perform yajnas daily to be free from that.
Maybe you don't know, in England it's £5, they have money.
Oh right, they made their money with some
cow fat.
Cow fat or something like that. But it's everywhere. Animal products are everywhere in everything, practically. In India, this become very popular, the Patanjali products, which are vegetarian. It's a brand name. They produce all kinds of things. And they have, it's very common in India, you see this little green dot on packets of toothpaste and jam and all kinds of things. It's still a big thing in India, vegetarianism. Big thing, but there's so much propaganda from demoniac so-called Christians that actually cow slaughter and cow eating was allowed in ancient India. And they give bogus quotes from the Vedas, so many things.